Welcome to Mastering Finland podcast. My name is Eva and I am your host today. My guest of today is Carmen Lorenzana from Mexico. And I have met Carmen in a nice event. She was talking about a topic that was very interesting for me. And therefore, I thought it would be a really nice thing to invite her. And so that she can tell also to all of you, our dear listeners, about the topic. But first, the basic questions. So, Carmen, what brought you to Finland?
Hi, Eva. I'm so happy to be here today. Well, I came to Finland in 2015, so 8 years ago, because of my partner. He's also from Mexico. And we moved here because of his master's degree. He came to study an MBA in Haga Helia. So we moved thinking that we would stay here only a couple of years. And 8 years later, here we are.
That's a nice story, yeah. Indeed. So moving from Mexico to Finland, I can imagine that there was a little bit of a cultural shock. So tell us something about what was the thing that surprised you most?
Yeah, I think, well, of course, the main shock for me was the weather. And I think the lack of sun. You know, I used to take the sun for granted before coming to Finland. And I was not really aware of how important it is for your mood and your well-being and your energy levels. So I guess that was something very interesting for me. I'm not sure if I will ever get used to that.
Yeah, I really feel you there, indeed.
Yeah.
When you, you just take it for granted when you are living somewhere else, and then here you realize that okay, that's not the easiest thing to be without sun. But have you heard about the happy lamp? Do you know that it exists?
No.
No. There is this lamp that you can buy in the shop. And you set it up, for example, in the morning for around 10-15 minutes, and it actually gives you the so-called sunlight.
Okay, yeah.
And I need to say I do have it, okay, and actually I use it.
It helps, okay.
And it does help. It's a bit an interesting concept, but just the fact that you have one extra light actually there, and they do exist also as alarm clocks.
Okay.
So you can set it up in a way that in the morning, when of course it's dark everywhere in Finland, you need to wake up, it starts making a little by little the light, kind of like sunrise style. And then also you can set different type of sounds, like birds chirping or something like that. I found that quite interesting indeed.
I need to look into that definitely for next winter.
Yes, perhaps. Yeah. Good. And so if you would, if there was somebody else arriving right now to Finland, what would you be your advice to this someone or to yourself 8 years ago? Is there something that you would say, these are the things that you need to know on the first day to be able to master Finland the best?
Well, definitely be open to the new experiences, be open to learn, to meet new people. But I guess something I would tell myself from 8 years ago is don't be afraid to reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. Because that's how the journey has been for me. And I guess, we'll talk about what I'm doing in a moment, but changing my career from marketing and working in PR for so many years, I was so resistant to it.
Mm-hmm. So you were trying here in Finland to find a job in your previous area?
I was trying, yeah. It was not fulfilling for me anymore, but still I was so...
Determined,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe you couldn't imagine differently.
Exactly, yeah. So I would tell myself, don't be afraid to explore new possibilities and reinvent yourself. It's totally possible and worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell me then, what was the click? What made the change? How come did you then stop being stubborn and started something new?
Well, it was definitely the fact that I couldn't find a job in my field. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I was also not really wanting to, like unconsciously, I guess, because this was not fulfilling for me anymore. And then at some point I came to terms with this. So, okay, I want to change my career. and I was very clear on what I didn't want, but I had no idea what I wanted. So it was, it took me a few years. I started babysitting. Mm-hmm. I did it for a few years to pay the bills, but I was figuring out what was happening. And well, then one thing led to another. I have a hormonal imbalance, polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's actually a quite common thing. Mm-hmm. And just trying to research for better ways to treat PCOS led me to learn many things about my menstrual cycle, about my hormones, about my body. And I got super curious about this. And eventually I decided to certify as a menstrual cycle educator and then as a coach and start a business on that field. Mm-hmm. So that's how the journey has been for me.
For me, when I heard you talking about this before, I was really surprised. For example, I never heard that there is a certification that you can mm-hmm. be certified as a menstrual educator. I think it's a little bit still kind of like a taboo.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, to us ladies, when we are in the early ages, they tell us, okay, this is it and this is how it functions, but then not much more.
Yes.
So that's what you got very enthusiastic about, I am assuming. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about what's the business, or maybe first, because that might be very interesting for some of our listeners. Did you use any of the integration services, or how did you set up the business? Did you use any of the available help here in Finland?
Yeah, well, the first thing I did was to use this light entrepreneurship invoicing services. I guess you're familiar with this. Like, yeah, this platform that you can register to. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a business, if you are not registered as a business, you can register to this platform and then they will help you manage all your invoices. They will take a small fee from every invoice that you make.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very helpful because they take care of all the bureaucracy. Okay. While you are actually exploring business possibilities. So that's how I started.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually when the time came, I decided to open a business. So I approached Nuco, which I believe nowadays is called Business Helsinki. They recently rebranded.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very helpful also in terms of how to open a Toiminimi, a sole trader business. Mm-hmm. What the taxes, the pension, you know, like all these tricky things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been training with The Shortcut, this amazing association that helps foreigners to integrate to Finland. So I've taken a couple of courses, entrepreneurship courses with them.
Mm-hmm.
Also very, very helpful to learn how to set a business. And also, you know, to have a community of like-minded people. It has been very useful.
To talk about and to explore and to test certain
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So now I think is the time. Now you need to tell us what is the business about.
Yeah.
How does it look? How does it work?
Yeah. Well, I am a menstrual cycle educator and coach. So what that means is I help women and people with periods to understand their menstrual cycle so that they can improve their experience with it. I think it's the case for many of us, even here in Finland. The menstrual and sex education that we receive when we are young is quite limited. In terms of the cycle, we learn that we are supposed to have a period once a month. We learn that we have the possibility of getting pregnant. So we learn everything to avoid that.
Yes.
And that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
But the cycle is so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot happening between one period and the rest. And these are things that we don't learn. And because we don't learn these things, we don't understand them, it's very difficult to have a good experience with it, right? Many people suffer from period pain or symptoms. Many people have a difficult relationship with the cycle.
Many girls hate it indeed. I mean, they mm-hmm. are fearing, oh my God, it's coming again. It's going to hurt a lot. Need to take painkillers.
Yeah.
And what I think we also try to really do in the society is not to, it's just, yes, like forget about it, let's say, mm-hmm. or just to push it away.
Yes.
We take the painkiller and we go doing sports, going to work, doing everything as normal.
Mm.
While I was listening to your presentation, I learned that maybe that's not the best thing to do.
Yeah.
I think it would be really interesting for the listeners, well, whether you are a man or a woman, because I think that's part of life and basically everybody should know. Mm. So tell us about the four parts of the cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I really enjoy sharing about. I do it with my coaching clients working one-on-one. I do it through online courses and also through workshops, in-person workshops, mostly in Helsinki. And yeah, I mean, the whole concept about the four phases, well, yeah, the cycle has four hormonal phases. So as we were saying, we know that we have our period. That's one phase of the cycle. We know we have the possibility of getting pregnant. That's another phase of the cycle. But there's also a lot happening between those two phases. So there are actually four hormonal phases. These phases are created thanks to our reproductive hormones. So women and people with periods have a cycle that is anything from 24 to 36 days, where there are four hormones involved, mainly. There are more, but four are the main ones. And depending on the amount of each hormone present at any given time, is that these four phases are created. So these hormones trigger different reactions in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the four phases of the cycle are the menstrual phase, the time when we have the period. Then there is a pre-ovulatory phase. Then there is the ovulatory phase, the time when we can potentially get pregnant. And then there is a premenstrual phase. And the interesting thing is that because of our reproductive hormones, depending on the phase of the cycle that we're in, we change. So our hormones, as amazing as they are, they influence many things in our well-being. So they make us change physically, mentally, emotionally. So depending on the phase of the cycle that you're in, your energy levels change, your interests, how social, how introspective you are, how patient, how optimistic, how pessimistic. So all these things change depending on where we are in the cycle.
And this is happening every month for so many years.
Yes.
And it takes quite some time until we ladies understand that.
Mm.
I have to say from my own perspective that actually it seemed to me that during the early ages, let's say from when you start to have the period until something like 35, the phases are there, but maybe they are not so, touchable or feelable, mm. or you don't realize them that much.
Mm.
But after 35, or let's say even more, after 40, you suddenly really start feeling them a lot. And that's the time where basically, yes, you should already know that this is why now I am so tired. This is why now I cannot concentrate. And this is why now, oh, this week I can do everything. I'm a superwoman. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting to then listen to you and like-minded women of you that just gives the super easy explanation. This is why, and this is how it goes. And then you can actually really understand yourself better. You can plan the work better. You can plan even your life better. And pretty much also your partner can understand. Oh, you can explain to the partner, look, this is why. You see, it's not because I am a bitch. It's just because the hormones are doing this with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And also regarding the phases, so tell us a bit more maybe about the moods or the changes in each of the cycle. I think that is super interesting.
Yeah. Before I tell you that, I was thinking about what you asked me regarding what surprised me when I came to Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And the four seasons, like living the four seasons of the year, was something very new for me and very exciting, because in Mexico we don't have the four seasons as clear
Indeed.
As we have them here.
Mm-hmm.
And the connection with what I'm about to share is that as cyclical beings, we are so connected to nature in ways we even don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so beautiful. The menstrual cycle actually mirrors other cycles in nature, like the seasons of the year. Each phase of the cycle mirrors a season in nature. So when I moved to Finland and I started learning about the the phases of the cycle, it was very easy to me to understand these metaphors. I think it's a powerful metaphor to understand how we change depending on the phase of the cycle that we're in. Mm-hmm. So we start with the first phase, the menstrual phase. This is the time when you have your period. So this phase starts on the first day that you have your period. Here we are talking about a proper bleeding, not spotting. And this phase has a very similar energy to the winter time of the year. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a time for resting, for renewal and healing.
You just want to be in the bed.
Yes.
Yes. And sip hot tea and do nothing.
Be cozy.
Be cozy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, very much. Yeah. Yes, very much relate to that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, physically, we are shedding the endometrial lining. And this process consumes a lot of resources from our body. So it's natural that our energy decreases here. And it's actually good and very important to give time to rest. If doing nothing is not possible for you, mm-hmm. I mean, fair enough. We live in a society that it's not that doesn't honor cyclical beings. But at least just the awareness that don't demand or push yourself as you would do in other points of the cycle, because you actually don't have the maybe you don't have the same energy or the same capacity.
Yeah, the thing is, if I'm understanding correctly, you have the energy, but you need to use the energy for something else.
Exactly.
You need to use it for the period and for the cleansing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the important thing.
Can I add here, you know, because when I was then thinking about it myself, I was also thinking, but the nature is so clever mm-hmm. because itself, that's why we probably have the pain, right? Linked to that, because maybe, well, still 200 years ago, there were no painkillers that you were taking. So naturally, a woman in this period of the cycle would have needed to slow down, would have needed just maybe also to do nothing, because the pain is there physically that makes you to stay where you are. Another thought that I have, I don't know if it was, I never tried to research it or anything. Then I was also thinking that even from the very longer time ago, okay, let's go 10,000 years ago, because of the bleeding, of course the woman was vulnerable, meaning the woman should not have gone outside because she was bleeding, meaning an animal could have smelled it. And she would have been super vulnerable. So then the connection in my head was, wow, such a smart thing. You introduce the pain in it as well, kind of, so that the woman just stays really at home or wherever in the cave where she was living.
Yeah.
And I think it's really smart.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention, though, regarding period pain. It's, of course, normal to feel certain level of discomfort because the uterus is contracting to release the endometrium. Mm-hmm. However, period pain is not normal.
Ah.
And this is something that, I think this is every time I share about this in workshops or with my clients, it's like, wow, are you kidding me? It's not normal. We are not meant to experience period pain. Yeah, exactly.
Really?
If you do it, then that's a sign of an imbalance.
Okay.
Yeah. So it can be something with your hormones. It can also be something related to the demands of the society, right? Like this feeling that I need to push, I have to perform, I cannot stop. Mm-hmm. The human body is really wise.
So is it linked in a way that if you do not rest enough, then maybe the next cycle it comes with even some more pain?
Yeah, for some people it can be like that.
Just really then tells you, no, you have to rest.
For some people it's definitely like that, mm-hmm. but then it can be also a sign of something else, right? So maybe an excess of estrogen, maybe endometriosis, maybe another condition. So if you experience menstrual pain, it's always worth investigating what could be behind. Again, certain level of discomfort is normal, it's natural, mm-hmm. but severe menstrual pain, and especially if it's such that it actually disrupts your life, then mm-hmm. that you should definitely check what's happening there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. This I you see, my theory is not working here. Okay.
No, yeah.
So let's go further. So mm-hmm. from winter, I assume we are coming to spring?
Yes, exactly. So the moment your period ends, you cross over to your inner spring, your pre-ovulatory phase. And this, if you think about the seasons of the year, well, this is the time when nature wakes up again. Mm-hmm. And it's something similar what happens to us. So in this phase, estrogen is a dominant hormone. And this hormone is very interesting because it boosts the left side of the brain. So the logical, the analytical, the structure side of the brain. All of these, by the way, are superpowers or strength of this pre-ovulatory phase. And our energy starts to increase. Our physical strength. It's like this time for new beginnings where everything feels possible and we feel motivated. So it's very interesting. Something interesting to consider here is that estrogen increases gradually. So our energy, our motivation, and all these things also increase gradually.
Yeah, like in spring.
Like in spring,
it's really like that.
It's a sustainability cycle, if you think about it.
You start to having more sun, well, especially here in Finland. Yeah. I mean, you really then notice the difference. And it's true, you have more energy. You start thinking more positively.
Yeah, we just need to be mindful of not putting all the eggs in the basket right away, because we can burn out before reaching ovulation.
Okay, so you mean not to exaggerate. Okay, now I have more energy, so I'm gonna use it until the last.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It depends on everyone. We always say that each phase gives you different superpowers, different challenges or vulnerabilities, and they are very personal, very unique for everyone. Mm-hmm. But something a common pattern that I see with clients and also in myself is this: like trying to do everything right away as soon as we cross over to spring. So my personal mantra is actually spring is not summer. I have to constantly remind that myself so that I can manage my energy in a more clever
proper way. Yeah. Okay. So I'm understanding that summer is the time that you're like super energetic and you're the superwoman and you can do everything and anything.
Exactly. Okay. So this is your fertile phase. It means that it's the time when your body is ready to make a baby, whether this is in your plans or not. We are not fertile every day of our cycle. We are only fertile for an average of 6 days every cycle. For some, this is actually new information as well. And I think, it's really crazy that we don't understand this. Men and non-menstruators are fertile every single day. We are only fertile for about 6 days each cycle. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And this is the phase where, as you say, our energy peaks, our libido increases. So we have estrogen peaks here. So all the superpowers from the inner spring are heightened. Mm-hmm. And we also have a smaller surge in testosterone. So this increases our libido, our physical strength. We feel more confident. We feel more magnetic. We have energy. Our communication skills are at their best. So for those who are moms, for example, it's very easy to mother during this phase, or if you are a caregiver, it's very easy to do your work in this phase because you are in this super power.
You're the nice one. Let's call it that way. You're the nice queen.
Well, that's one way to put it, of course. Mm-hmm. I think if we talk about the challenges or the vulnerabilities here, this is a phase where we can multitask, when we can be all things for all people. So yeah, we're socially, we look like the nice ones, right? But we have to be aware that these won't last forever. Things are about to change drastically in mm-hmm. the next phase. And this, by the way, is a good thing, because otherwise it's not sustainable. So it's, of course, very good to embrace this energy and enjoy it. But just being mindful that things are about to change. So, for example, a good tip that I always like to share is don't leave your ovulatory self in charge of your calendar. Because for her, everything is possible. She will say yes to everything, every invitation, every activity. Mm-hmm. But later in the cycle, she might regret it.
Okay, so you think we need to be kind of mindful or not to stack the calendar too much and too many activities, because we, of course, from the spring period already have the energy. And we just say, yes, I'm going to come, I'm going to do this at work, I'm going to say yes to everything. And that leads then to possible problems, because then autumn is coming.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's an example of how we can take care of ourselves in this phase. And this is the phase that society values. right? Because I mean, this is what society expects from a woman, from a mother. Like, she can be all things for all people, but we are not meant to, and we cannot be that. So it's also important to consider that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the autumn is coming.
Yes. Then things shift. The premenstrual phase of the cycle comes, the autumn phase. And, you know, it's like the leaves of the trees in the autumn that shed.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming from our superhero phase. We have our superhero cape. And in this phase, we take it off. And now we are more exposed, more vulnerable, more sensitive. I would say because of how we are socially conditioned, what we were saying about the ovulatory energy being valued, the premenstrual phase is a very misunderstood phase.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a time where we become more introspective. It's a feedback phase. So it's a time where you will hear about the things that are working and not working in your life. You will have all these insights,
mm-hmm.
especially the things that are not working or that are bothering you. And these insights will come in the form of your inner critic, PMS, premenstrual syndrome,
mm-hmm.
emotions difficult to navigate. All of these things are messages.
An
right?
outside critic,
and
indeed.
Outside critic as well. Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. You are maybe more sensitive to what you hear from others.
Mm-hmm.
But all these things are giving you clear messages of something that you need to pay attention to. So mm-hmm. Basically what happens in the premenstrual phase is your inner self is telling you, hey, this is...
Calm down.
Or you're not going from the right path, maybe. Remember what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a tendency to say no or to set boundaries. And sometimes this comes like in a very, what's the word that I want to use? Like, I mean, we can be very drastic,
very harsh
about this, right?
Yeah, also because it comes after the time that you were the superwoman, you could do everything and you were, I could really say, like, nice
mm-hmm.
to everyone, mm-hmm. to yourself. And then when this phase comes, and of course it's also linked, I assume, to the hormones and so
yeah.
on, suddenly you are just so lost, or yes, unless you understand that, okay, this is happening because of this
mm-hmm.
and it is repetitive and I could see the signs
yeah.
coming, you actually are frustrated.
Yes.
And you say, "Ma, why? But why do I now feel like this? When 1 week ago I was so great and
yeah.
now there is this little depression and little, like, everything is bothering you,
yeah.
nervous. You are the witch in the family."
yeah, exactly. You are frustrated and the people around you is as well, if there
mm-hmm.
is not an understanding of this. But this is a very important phase because this is a time when we remember what's important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Progesterone is the dominant hormone in this phase. And opposite to estrogen, it boosts the right side of the brain. So the artistic, the intuitive, the creative side. All of these are superpowers of this phase
mm-hmm.
as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that we need to reframe. We need to reframe our experience with the premenstrual phase and just claim it as the powerful time of the cycle that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I'll ask after.
Yeah.
Go.
And then your period comes again and the cycle starts all over again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And it goes on and on and
yeah.
on. And any hint or tip to what to do? Well, two. First... woman, but then maybe also to men, because
yeah.
if once the men understand that, okay, now I see, oh, that is that week that she's a bit nervous and everything, what can the men do?
Mm.
And indeed, what can the woman do? Is there some, I mean, I have heard, of course, for the PMS, you can have a hormonal treatment. There are all kinds of teas. But like, what would be your tip? What to do in order to survive that phase the best?
Yeah, regarding PMS, it's the same with period pain. It's not a normal experience. We are not meant to experience and suffer from PMS. If you have that, that's a sign of an imbalance. So it's always worth investigating if certain hormones are lower or maybe hormones that should be low, like estrogen, are high in this phase. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
How can you investigate that? Is there a test, blood test?
Or? You can of course take blood tests, but actually a very useful tool is learning a fertility awareness method, which is something that I also teach to my clients. Mm-hmm. What this means is paying attention to fertility signs in your cycle, like your cervical mucus, your bleeding patterns, your basal body temperature. You learn to observe these signs every day of your cycle. You learn to chart them. You put them in a chart. Mm-hmm. And then you learn to make interpretations of what that means. So with this, you can actually identify the infertile and fertile times of your cycle. But then you can also, through your fertility biomarkers, which is what they are called, you can identify if there are some imbalances, if there is estrogen where it shouldn't be, or if progesterone is low, for example. And then, of course, having this information, it's easier to go and test and validate this and then advocate for better treatment. Mm-hmm. But this is something very, very useful.
And the treatment would be there, would that be then like hormonal treatment?
Yeah, well, there is always, when there is a hormonal imbalance, there's always a root cause. So that's something that you also need to look into, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Sometimes it's a matter of nutrition, like eating proper food for the cycle, or changing lifestyle habits. Sometimes it's something a little bit more complicated, like the thyroid gland, for example, or mm-hmm. something like that. So it really depends on each case. But I think that the main takeaway from this is if you are having PMS, it's not a normal experience, so yeah, look into
to
it,
look and, closer,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, good,
yeah,
thank you. I think that was very super nice. Mm-hmm. What came to my mind actually when you are talking when you were talking about the four cycles is also that the human life sometimes in general, and that then is together the men and the woman, is also very often kind of cyclical, mirrored or explained in this cyclic way, yeah. But of course completely different, like as you have the way we spring the first whatever 25 years, then you have the summer, then you are getting older, and then you are old, and that's the winter, and then yeah. You are dying.
Absolutely. And it's something I really love about this work. It's like cycles within cycles within cycles. Mm-hmm. And I find it so powerful. And something I can share about what you just said is that, yes, this cycle is also mirrored in the life stages of a woman or of someone who bleeds. And perimenopause and menopause is like the autumn time, mm-hmm. like the premenstrual time. So, of course, I don't have a lived experience of this yet, but what I've learned from my teachers, Alexandra Pope and Shani, from whom I learned all these things, is that because these two phases are very similar, every time you are in your premenstrual phase, you are having a small taste of what
it's going to be. It's going to be the menopause.
Exactly. So it's like a small training, right? Uh-huh. And think about it. If the menstrual cycle is a misunderstood and taboo topic, menopause is even more. Because, I mean, the way we are conditioned, in menopause, women stop being productive, you know, to society. Mm-hmm. And they also become more themselves, more powerful. They really know what they want. And that in this patriarchal society can be threatening sometimes. But if we learn in the premenstrual phase to reclaim that experience, to reframe our experience with this phase, then we are training a little bit the muscle for when the time
for the menopause comes.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
So then by learning this already during that cyclicism over the years, you would already be able to then handle the menopause, yeah, better, not to be the witch.
I guess, yeah, able to some extent, I imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, well, that is super interesting. Yeah. One more thing, because, okay, we were talking a lot about the cycles and so on, but then you also mentioned that this is, of course, or in your work you do the fertility awareness, so yeah. Basically I could assume that your what you're teaching is very important also for the younger generation, which maybe do not yet feel these hormonal changes, yeah, that much. However, they can of course use this for knowing when they are most fertile and how things go.
Yeah, totally. I think these are things that we should all learn when we are younger, honestly. It should be the norm and not the exception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very good. So maybe later on you become a teacher and you will be going from school to school.
I would love that, yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I think then when we are having the transcript on our website, then we will include the contact details. So if people would want to find you, but I think the email website is carmenlorenzana.com.
Yes.
Okay, that's quite easy, so
yeah,
that would be great to see.
Yeah.
And then tell me still, so we already talked that this is not taught at schools, I am assuming it's all around the world. And do you see anything more happening now here in Finland, or is it here as well the taboo and it's difficult to push it?
I think in general the topic is getting more and more awareness, more trendy even. So that's of course a very good thing, but there's still a lot of work to do. I feel in Finland I work mostly with the international community because I offer my services in English. Many Finnish women come to my workshops as well, which is always a joy. And yeah, I mean, from what I can see also from talking with friends is that, well, yes, the awareness of the menstrual cycle of the four phases of the cycle is maybe not taught yet. Also the fertility awareness part. So yes, we learn that we can get pregnant certain days of the cycle. We know about cervical mucus, but just the very basics, but how to identify that, how to use that, that's something that is still not taught, I would say. Yeah. And I've had a couple of Finnish friends who have kids in school age who have come to me because they want their kids to learn more about these things, because I believe they are maybe not getting the whole picture at school, you know, yeah, the whole information.
Yeah. Even though Finland is quite open in the education system, I think it's really nice that they really try to teach the team building, the cooperation and so on. And it's important for the teachers, the behavior more than really the subject. But okay, there is still work to do, of course. And Well, I definitely wish you luck that this topic of yours will become more and more known and more taught at school, so that then the whole population and the whole generation will be more aware and will more understand why are we behaving like we are behaving, why are we like we are. And also another thing which would be super nice to achieve one day would be the teaching about how women work and how men work and what are the drivers and how the testosterone is actually driving the men to achieve, to do, to plan, and how women can do it as well. But we are just not meant to do it the same way. Yeah. However, the society is set to achieve, to do, to like the male energy, let's say.
Yes.
And that is such a yet another interesting topic.
I agree. I completely agree.
Which maybe once I'll try to cover as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Carmen, it was super nice. So maybe the last question that I would have to you is, you have said you lived in Finland for 8 years by now. So tell us a little bit about your most favorite places. Like, what could you advise to our listeners? Where to go for holiday? Some secret hidden gem or in a city or in whole Finland, whatever.
Yeah, I really, really love camping. It's something that my partner and I actually share a lot. So as soon as the weather gets better, gets good, we go camping almost every weekend. And I guess my something I would suggest is to visit the national parks. I believe there are 41 national parks in Finland. We actually have a goal to visit them all at some point. All of them are unique. They have very, very nice landscapes. The facilities are also very good. So if you have the chance to visit any national park, I would say do it, because it's really worth it. I cannot choose, I believe, one to recommend.
That was my next question. Which one would you recommend?
No, but I guess from the ones that I visited, I would choose Repovesi National mm-hmm. Park, Hosa, which is in the north, I think it's northeast, and Leivonmäki on the way to Jyväskylä, I believe.
Uh-huh. Leivonmäki.
Leivonmäki.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Leivonmäki. Yeah. Okay. Well, that is really good. But maybe tell us a bit more. Okay, so you go camping, meaning are there, like in the national parks, are there some facilities that you can use, or how would it work? If somebody from our listener just say, oh, that's a great idea, I'm going to go camping. So what do you need?
Some national parks are, you can reach them through public transport, which I believe is very good. So for example, Nuuksio from Helsinki, it's very easy. You take a train or a bus. Repovesi, I think it's also reachable by public transport, so that's one thing. National parks have, because they are protected areas, mm-hmm. have very specific areas where you can actually camp. Mm-hmm. But it's very easy, that's something I really love, go to the website of the national park and find a map and to locate the places where you can camp, where you can make a fire. There are toilets, like dry toilets available.
Mm-hmm. Is there water or any facilities?
For example, in Repovesi, there are some water, how do you call this? Like
water taps or something that you can refill your water?
Yeah, in certain points, exactly, where mm-hmm. you can refill. Some places, like there are these labus, they are called, like some shelters where you can actually sleep without setting a tent. Mm-hmm. You can even find pots and pans and things for cooking there.
Which, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's something, one of the things that really surprised me about Finland. And well, the lake.
When you want to make fire, or is it allowed to do fire actually in the national parks?
Actually, this is a very, I think, something that we need more awareness on. There are certain areas where you can make fire. So they are these fireplaces, open fire and like closed places. Every time you go camping, you need to check if there is a fire warning. Mm-hmm. Because when it's too dry, when it hasn't rained for a long time, there is the risk of fire in the forest, which of course can if you make a fire anyway, then the risk of actually something major happening is very high. So sometimes you cannot, even in these fireplaces designed for this, if they are open, you cannot do it. So mm-hmm. you always need to check. And then it's always a good idea to bring a small kitchen that you can, I can't remember the proper name in English, but you know, you bring your gas tank and you connect it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So that you
like
can
a cooking,
cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
so that you can.
Exactly. Equipment that you can then use yourself. Okay. Yeah. And is it like crowded? Is there a lot of people normally, or which?
Yeah, I guess it depends on where you go. For mm-hmm. example, Nuuksio, I guess because it's so close to Helsinki and because you can reach to through public transport, it's usually crowded during the weekends. I think in general, people respect nature and other campers, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But then also certain areas are like more private, and that's also quite nice sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and very often you have a lake, most probably.
Yeah, exactly. So you can mm-hmm. you can swim if the weather is nice, or if you're brave enough.
Yes.
Yeah, you can set a hammock. Yeah, mm-hmm. so many many nice things.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Carmen. This has been a super lovely talk. I hope our listeners also enjoyed it and have learned a bit more how to understand Tuon.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here with you today, Eva. Thanks for inviting me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.